The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Happy to be here. It's a Yawa.
This is a Yawa, y'all.
You ask, we answer.
Yawa. Yeah. Now, last month, Cammy and Gabe were on with us, and it was a themed Yawa, and it was like, that's why I was like, when I was putting down together the outline today, I'm like, it's weird. I feel like it's been so long since we've done a Yawa, but it's just because it just wasn't the same last month, because it wasn't just you and me, mm-hmm. me and you, but it's just the two of us now, kid.
Back again.
Yeah. Shady's back. I'm a little tired.
A little frazzled.
My feet are hurting. I had a wedding last night. It was my last wedding for the year. I'm done. And I'm happy to be done, but I'm also sad. Like I'm happy to have like a little bit of my life back, but I'm also sad because, you know,
just because it's the last wedding of this year doesn't mean you're not going to be working on weddings this year, though.
This is true. Oh yeah, I'm still working. But I also feel like when it gets intense during wedding season, I feel as if I'm neglecting all of you listening to the podcast, because our inbox is beyond it's beyond right now. Okay, people. It's beyond. Like, I look at it and just makes me want, I just start itching all over. I get all like panicky. I don't like a messy inbox. Mm. I hate it.
We actually got more voicemails also in the past couple of weeks.
So it's
messy voice inbox too.
And let me just start out right now and say, Allison from California, you know who you are. You left 3 messages in a row. And it was, and when Allison called, I was at the David Tatera event, and we're not going to play your voicemails. And it's not because we don't love you, because we do. And we really appreciate everything you said. And I loved hearing about your engagement story. I love, you know, you telling us about your family and your mom. And I know that there's a lot going on, but we just want to share, send you some love and tell you thank you for sharing with us. And we really appreciate it. And we can't wait to hear how everything goes with all the planning. And I'm also very jealous that you were in Japan. Okay. I'm just going to say that. It's an inside secret. Just wanted to say shout out to you, Miss Allison. Housekeeping, like always, I feel like we need a sound for that, like knock, 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 housekeeping. Like, you know, when you're in a hotel.
Yeah, you can just do it every time.
Okay. Housekeeping.
Go away.
We get some new Patreon members. October's pretty amazing.
Is Allison one of them? Our Allison that we were just talking about?
Oh.
Or is it a different Allison?
I don't know if that's the same Allison.
We would know if we were more
because,
on top of it.
Well, she did not, I don't know. I don't know if it is. Damn, Allison. It's Allison C. I know that on Patreon, but I don't know if it's the same Allison that left 3 voicemails.
She only
left 3 voicemails because it cuts you off after 3 minutes. And she's chit chatty. She likes to talk. And she made a funny reference to something I always say. Anyway, go ahead. I cut you off.
And also Juniper, Mael, Louisa, and Natalie. Thank you all for becoming Patreon members. We're so excited to see you over there and hopefully in a Zoom cocktail hour soon.
And Peyton. Did you see Peyton? Peyton G. These are all really beautiful names. Peyton, Juniper, Mael, Louisa, Natalie Allison. Beautiful. You guys are amazing. This is awesome. Thank you for giving up a latte a month for us. All right, let's get to one of my favorite times of the month, reading reviews. And again, you people, in October, you were on this shit. October was amazing, and it really helped because it was a tough month for the events industry people. I'm telling you, last night, all of the photographer, the videographer, the DJ, we were all like, how are you doing? You okay?
Check in, circle up.
Are we all right? But we were all in this crazy energy because you just got to keep it up. You can't sit down and you can't calm down. You got to keep it up until it's done.
Never stop, never stopping.
All right, let's go. You want to read the first one?
Sure. From VT Chillin. 5 stars. Invaluable advice. Wow. Christy and Michelle have truly put together an amazing podcast and resource for anyone involved in planning a wedding. As a COVID bride, there were ups and downs in this perpetual planning process. TBWPP not only empowered me with tons of insight and helpful advice, it helped get me motivated after postponing for a second time. Super thankful for the extensive archive of episodes and the Facebook group for on-the-spot tips and emotional support from other wedding-minded folks. I finally graduated now, thanks in large part to their help. Highly recommend.
Do you think that means she's married?
Maybe, or is done planning.
Yeah.
Which would be like almost married. Well, congratulations if you are married. And we do have that one episode specifically for after wedding planning. So anyways, happy that all of those archived episodes, I mean, this is our 274th episode. So whenever you jump in, chances are there's
something for everyone.
Many, many episodes. Yeah. That we've already recorded out there that will attack one of the dilemmas or problems or elements of wedding planning.
All right. I'll read the next one. Non-stop listening from FJ CJD Get. It's code for something.
Mm-hmm.
5 stars. I've been meaning to write this review for a while now. Sorry for the delay, Christy and Michelle. Well, that's just all right, buddy.
We forgive you.
Yeah, you did it. These two ladies have been playing on a near constant loop in my earbuds since I got engaged. Okay, maybe I started a few weeks before the proposal.
We have an episode about that.
We do have an episode with Lindsay. With 10 months till my wedding, I have very low stress, largely because I feel so prepared thanks to these two. Thanks for being knowledgeable, entertaining, and focused on inclusivity. So happy to have your guidance as we plan that wedding. Aww.
It feels nice that somebody thinks that they are low stress because of stuff that they've listened to on this podcast.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Wedding planning is so like annoying and stressful sometimes that literally is just like, it's always been my goal. Like in the frigging, you know, umpteen years I've been doing this is like, let's not use the S word. Let's have fun. Like, cause it's really,
And it has been our goal with the podcast too, to remind everybody to stay grounded.
Okay. All right. Read the next one. It's a big one, but
From Juniper.
So much.
I'm 99% sure this is the same Juniper.
Yay.
Scroll no further. This is the wedding planning podcast for you. TBWPP is a wonderful podcast for anyone involved in planning a wedding. They give practical advice and host vendors and wedding professionals to give their own thoughts and advice on weddings. Christy and Michelle have great friend chemistry and they're a joy to listen to. But all of that isn't even the best part. Christy and Michelle genuinely care about their listeners and want us to plan the weddings that feel right to us. Yes, they have opinions on how to do things, but they provide numerous ways of achieving the desired effect. They want the wedding to be about the couple and their loved ones, not a cookie cutter. this is what you should do kind of approach. Not only do they embrace unique ideas and opinions and are LGBTQ plus friendly and second wedding friendly, but they take time to respond to listener questions and emails. And you can tell that these lovely ladies truly care about their listeners. They follow up and often provide much needed encouragement and laughs. Listen immediately and hashtag plan that wedding.
Oh, thank you so much, Juniper. Juniper. Wow. See, now I just realized like somebody was so like loving our podcast or like, you know, got a vibe or whatever that she became a Patreon member and she wrote this long ass review. Like that's just amazing. And it still blows my mind. Thank you so much. All right. One more. It's a short and sweet one, but it references J-Lo. So I got, you know, great for a bride to be 5 stars, age, this is not a real name. I'm a bride to be, and this has helped me to ask the right questions and make sure that I'm planning efficiently and affordably. I've also dreamed of being a planner my whole life, not just in the J-Lo way. And this is really just making me live vicariously through their amazing lives and careers. Did you know that you have an amazing life and career, Christy?
I'll read this review to remind me when I forget.
That is super cute. And I think I've probably mentioned more than once on the podcast, because I repeat myself constantly in my old age, that there's always at least I would say almost every wedding, there's one point of the night where most people are just like totally hammered and I've got my ponytail and they're like, oh, hi, J-Lo. And my response is always like, I wish I looked like J-Lo, but thanks.
It's that opening scene in the movie where she opens her lilac suit jacket.
Lilac suit.
And
yes.
She has all of the like emergency kit stuff
on the inside
of her coat or whatever. But that's what people think of when they see our like clipboards or fanny packs or,
yep.
You know, the real emergency kit is like a full-on suitcase. So we're not dragging that around all day, but we know where it is.
We know where it is. All right, let's get to the questions. All right. So I told you guys, I told you all listening, it's been busy. Okay. The inbox is full. So these are all questions that we have not answered in advance. So listen up. I hope we do a good job. Number one, first question. Do you want to read it, Christy?
This is a long one.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Hello, ladies. I got engaged in May 2021 and I am fully immersed in the wedding planning process. I am in the midst of binging your podcast and it has been so helpful and I love listening to it. My question for both of you has to do with some family dynamics and how to deal with them. In particular, my grandfather, my dad's dad, so paternal grandpa, is my only living grandparent. So both me, my fiance, and my parents all feel strongly about having him there. I am the second cousin on my dad's side of the family to get engaged. The first cousin got married this past weekend with a beautiful ceremony, but there was some drama with my grandfather. He loves to take photos, but not the kind where he's in the background snapping photos here and there. No, he has his film camera and gets in your face to take pictures and will even interrupt conversations you're having to take a photo.
Oh.
We all love him dearly, but I don't think I've ever seen a single shot he's taken this way. God, we all know this guy. So back to the wedding this past weekend, per the church and pastor's request, there were no photos during the ceremony, which my family and the other 200 people were happy to comply with, except for him. There was not a photographer at the rehearsal dinner, so he took it upon himself to take photos of our family, which was sweet. But we thought that would have been enough, especially since they were paying for a photographer to be there for the wedding. Alas, it was not. Before we boarded our shuttle to head to the ceremony, my aunt noticed that my grandfather had his camera with him, despite being told that photos were not allowed. She gently reminded him that photos were not allowed and asked him kindly, and I will reiterate kindly, to refrain from snapping photos. To which he replied, I'm a 78-year-old man and I can make my own decisions. The pastor can shove his rules up his ass. And if you want to enforce them, then you can fuck off.
Whoa.
And that would be to his own daughter, right?
Oh.
That would be, right?
Yes.
That's her aunt would be his daughter or daughter-in-law. Okay. Ooh. So now there's a big scene in front of the hotel and my aunt started crying. My dad was upset because of the way his father was acting and the way he was treating his own daughter. And yes, so the aunt was grandpa's daughter. And tensions were extremely high. Thankfully, during the ceremony, he refrained from taking photos, but rather just fell asleep through the ceremony.
What?
I wish I was kidding as I write this. However, when it came time for the bride and groom to be introduced at the reception and go into their first dance, he was in the middle of the dance floor with them, getting in the way of the photographer and constantly inserting his camera above them in what seemed like an attempt to shoot the first dance from above.
Oh my God.
My cousin and her immediate family had no idea about the exchange that was had with him earlier in the day, but my other aunt, who is the mother of the bride at this wedding, was mortified at her father acting that way during the first dance. I guess where I'm going with all of this is that I don't know how to broach this topic for my own wedding, which is in April next year. Since he's my only living grandparent, I do very much want him to be a guest, but the thought of him acting the way he did this past weekend is making me cringe. Yes, you and everybody else listening to this story.
I gotta pull my sweater down from over my eyes.
My parents are footing the entire bill for the wedding, and for that, I am so extremely grateful. And one of our top priorities was photography. So we're investing quite a bit of money into a main photographer, second and third shooters, videographer, the whole nine yards. The photographer is a friend of my mom. We know her well and have already given her a heads up about my grandfather and his tendencies. Well, that's good. But she takes the most incredible photographs, and I do not want her or her colleagues to be worried about what he is doing or where he is during the ceremony or reception or having to shoot around him, edit him out, etc. I want them to be focused on capturing the moments and essence of our wedding, which they do so well. I feel like I need to have a conversation with my grandfather ahead of time, but I don't know how or when to do so. I even consider telling him that our photographer has a non-competing photography clause in her contract, which prohibits any guests from taking photos, getting in their way. I like that.
It's not a bad idea,
yeah,
but
I don't want to lie to him or make the photographer's job any harder if he were to approach them about it. I'm also worried about the way he will react if I ask him that, could he please not take any photos, especially since our rehearsal dinner is going to be just the wedding party and our parents. I am in such a pickle. Do you have any advice on how to deal with family dynamics like this? Not inviting him is not an option because that would cause even more drama. Anything would be appreciated.
Oh, Grandpa, he is a feisty one.
He's a handful.
So this is funny because usually I see, okay, first of all, haven't you seen, Christy, lots of guests at weddings with their big ass camera? And it's usually an older man and he's got it's a long lens and he's a photography, like aficionado, like
hobbyist.
He loves photography and I'm sure he takes lovely photos in his own way. And he's always, I've seen a couple of times where they get in the way of the mm-hmm. actual photographer. So listen, Mackenzie, I would never suggest not inviting your grandfather, by the way. It's not as if he's doing something that's like, he's totally being mean and manipulative and a horrible person.
Although he was pretty mean to your aunt.
He was mean to your aunt, which is why I
understand. Was he drunk?
I don't know.
I think
you need to talk to him. I think you need to, take him out to dinner or something or have mm-hmm. him over, you know, wherever it is. You know, just give him lots of hugs and kisses if that's the kind of relationship you have with him. Tell him how much you love him and just tell him that you really want him there, but can you please not bring your camera, Grandpa? Please don't.
I want you
camera.
To be present and enjoy everything that we have.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's distracting and I just so want you to enjoy the day with us.
What do you think about this, Mackenzie? What if you asked him to do some quote, I'm putting air quotes in the air.
Detail shots.
Engagement session with you and your fiance. What if you asked him if he would do that? And, you know, that maybe you could take a few of the photos that he took of you and, like, you know, put them in frames at the wedding and have them on display. What do you think about that? Because do you think he really wants to be taken seriously as a photographer? Like, you know what I mean? Do you think
that would be a nice gesture if he's into it? It's kind of like his photography is a part of the day.
Yes.
Still. And he might get recognized for that.
Yes.
I think he might also be the kind of person who would not admit this, but who is a little socially awkward, to where having a camera makes him feel like he has something to tinker with and has a purpose. Or maybe if he really wants attention, that's kind of his way to get it. Like, to be on the dance floor with the couple when there's three other photographers there, that seems very clearly, you know, crossing the line, but he did it without even thinking about it. Kind of makes me wonder if he needs like a job almost at the wedding. Something that like sets him apart from other people, and he could like escape conversations or be like, I got to go do this thing that, you know, my granddaughter asked me to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I also wonder if he's like losing his marbles a little bit. only when somebody is so clueless and also rude.
Right.
Like outwardly rude to tell your aunt in front of other people. I mean, even if that is how your family. Yeah. And I'm not going to follow the rules. And if you're going to enforce them, you can fuck off. Obviously, if your aunt was crying after that, like, then that's not like normal behavior from her dad. And I think like as people get older, they kind of lose their give a damn a little bit. Like
I was going to say,
in terms of social norms,
a lot of people when they're old, I can see how you get to a certain your age and you're like, listen,
don't tell me what
don't
to do.
Don't fucking tell me not to eat this food. Don't tell me not to smoke a cigarette.
I'm going
to
dye my hair purple if I want
gonna
to.
I'm going
to
do I've whatever. Earned it. Yeah. You know what? I might take up heroin.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I can see how when some people get older, they're like, you know what? I'm done, you know, being told what to do or having to follow this regimented
or follow
whatever.
The rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think you need to have a conversation with him anytime soon. You've got many months before your wedding. So the fact that she said many times in her email that she's like worried about this, she's actively thinking about it. I wish we could like wave
right
our
now.
Magic wands and just take this off of your, it certainly needs to be put on the way, way back burner, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Like there will be conversations with him ahead of time. Your dad will talk to him. You'll talk to him. You know, maybe your photographer would feel totally fine saying something. I don't think you're putting the photographer in a weird position to like, let them know what you did.
And maybe you don't need to tell him not to bring the camera, but you need to tell him more than once. You have to give space to the photographer. You can't, you know what I mean? In a nice way. Be like, I saw what you did at, you know, whatever this person's name's wedding. I think you're adorable. I love your photos, but there were instances where the photographer who they paid a lot of money for could not get the shot because you were in it. Grandpa, take photos from behind, you know, take them from other space. You know what I mean? Could you talk to him in that way? And see where that gets you.
Yeah. A lot can happen in the next 6 months too. And I don't think you need to have a conversation with him about this until pretty close to the wedding, because then he's likely to forget/ignore, you know, argue. I mean, also you don't want to give him time to like stew about it. It's just like, this is what I'm asking. So, okay. See you next week at the wedding.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe have your photographer take lots of pictures of your grandpa with the camera taking photos. That'd be kind of cool too.
And I think you need to enlist some people to run interference on the wedding day, so that in the event that a conversation needs to be had, the same thing doesn't happen as happened the last time somebody had a conversation with grandpa about this and got their ass handed to them, you know, outside of the hotel. So somebody needs to run interference, like physically guiding his shoulders, you know, to like move. Whoop, okay, we're going to get out of that shot now. Like, come on this way. We're not.
Yeah.
You're in the way, Grandpa.
All right, Mackenzie, hopefully that's helpful to you, hon. This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Manly Bands. And we just want you to know that buying a wedding band doesn't have to suck, okay? You don't have to spend countless hours running through jewelry stores figuring out, you know, which is the best band, what is the, you know, what design are you gonna like, or he's gonna like, or she's gonna like. And this is all thanks to Manly Bands.
Yes, it's a godsend that you can do this all from home. Awesome wedding bands, every type of imaginable material, even some from space, meteorites, crazy.
Meteorites, gold, wood, antler, steel, the whole thing. Jose Luis has the baller, okay? He likes the baller. The ring sizer is incredible because you just order this ring sizer. They send it to you. It's got all the sizes. It's plastic. It's lightweight. You figure out what size is best. You put it on your finger. Go about your business. Make dinner. You know, wash dishes. Type on your computer. See if that feels good.
And once you decide on the band and you know the size, Manly Bands offers free shipping worldwide and a 30-day exchange policy and a free warranty. So everyone's going to love their Manly Band. 100% chance that you're going to love this
band. And they're not only for men. I know that says Manly Bands, but whoever you are, right? Whatever your pronoun is, and whatever size finger you have, really, from small to like really, really big, they've got you. They are giving you a 21% discount. 21% discount. You just
plus a free silicone ring.
Right. Yeah. So you go to manlybands.com/bigwedding. manlybands.com/bigwedding for 21% off.
Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period.
So, you know, weddings are about moments. Like the actual wedding day, there are moments that you almost like you blink and you can think back on it and you remember it in your brain like it's there. Like the moment maybe when you're walking down the aisle. There are millions of moments that really do stick with you. And those are the things you want to remember the most.
That's why we're in the business, people.
That's why we're in the business, for sure. Celebrating and traditions and seeing these people that are your true people coming together. It's amazing.
Zola can be there for you every step of the way in the planning process so you can get to all of these moments. The most important thing to remember when planning, boom, Zola. All of your wedding needs. That's why over a million couples have planned their weddings with Zola.
Yes, and they've got your back. And we always recommend Zola to our clients. All of my clients have Zola websites. They can help you create stunning save the dates, invites, and a matching wedding website. And weddings can be expensive, but planning with Zola is not expensive. You and I have actually used the registry many years ago. We bought a couple of cool things, and it was so amazing, and the process was easy. And they have real people, by the way, who help you if you need it.
Like an actual person. And all the planning tools are completely free to use. So the wedding website, all the links, everything is there, FAQs, you can personalize everything, and you can try out anything that is a hard copy before you actually buy it. So you can get a little sample ahead of time.
That's right. So, dear listener, go to zola.com/bigwedding today and use promo code SAVE 50 for 50% off your save the dates. Zola is the one place to start for your wedding after the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Go to zola.com/bigwedding, save 50 for 50% off your save the dates.
Thank you, Zola.
Question number two. Hello, ladies. After I got engaged in late August, I started looking for a podcast about weddings, and you are by far my favorite. Why, thank you very much. While I'm not quite as fast at listening as many of your other listeners, I'm moving through them all at a good clip. I could use some advice if you're willing to spare it. All right, let's give her some advice.
Let's spare it.
My fiance and I finally decided on a venue that we wanted. The date we want is a Thursday in June. And it was available at this, I'm not going to say the name of the venue because we're going to talk about this a lot. It's a venue in Key West. That sounds very fancy. So it's a destination wedding for us.
It's an iconic venue.
Is it? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's one of them that, like, if you're in Key West, you, like, I didn't know necessarily that they do weddings there, but, like, it's on every map of, like, walk around, you know, see this and this and this, and, oh, here's this historic, iconic. Oh, yeah, so it's a, right. Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be a destination wedding for them. We were very excited to get moving with some real tangible plans. After reviewing their required and preferred vendor list, just after the caterer, so this venue has a preferred vendor list and actually you're required to use the vendors, okay? So after just what the caterer would charge, plus what the venue is charging, their budget, they've already hit their budget. Like they're pretty much hitting their budget. Just with the caterer and the venue. So no photography, no flowers, no nothing, right? The budget that we want to stick to is between 15 and 20,000. Like 20,000 is like the absolute mass. They can't go over 20,000. After emailing the venue and asking them for advice to keep the wedding within budget, the venue's response is that another option could be to have the wedding ceremony here, meaning the venue, and then maybe have a reception at a restaurant. Restaurants tend to be a bit less expensive. For 50 to 60 people, this will definitely bring you to the top of your budget with food and alcohol. Maybe inquire with, and then they give some recommendations, right? So it's not a huge wedding, 50 to 60, that's not huge. But they're already at the top of their budget. So she says, I guess I just don't understand how I could have saved up so much money and that it doesn't cover a reasonably small party. Personally, I don't like the idea of leaving the venue for a restaurant reception. So then she did something that we've suggested on this podcast a lot. And she went to the wedding report and she inputted the information for the town that she lives in. And the wedding report says that based on, you know, that geographic area, she could actually achieve a wedding for around 18 to 25K. So right within, you know, her budget. And that would be for 75 to 100 people. Okay. But her fiance doesn't want to get married in the town they live in. So it doesn't really feel like a viable backup plan for them because he doesn't want to get married there. So she's asking if she should keep pricing things out in Key West. And yeah. This is, you know, it's a very specific, I mean, there's specific kind of points in here, but this is probably something that a lot of people struggle with. I mean, we talk about budget all the time. It's very important. A budget is important. And we have to stick to it. And I really want to stress how, you know, in her mind, and I know that a lot of you think this way, you save so much, what for you is so much money. Like it's a huge accomplishment to save that amount of money for what you're calling a reasonably small party, right? It's like when you call a caterer and you're like, what? How much?
Yeah, it's easy to be like, what? That's insane. But yeah, we have to get out of the mindset that it is just a regular party.
It's not.
I mean, we like to say like, hey, the marriage is what's important. Like this is just a party. But in terms of hosting an event and the costs involved and the vendors who are going to give you quotes, as far as they're concerned, it's not a regular party. It's a wedding. Therefore, it costs more. That's just the reality.
It costs more because if you were just throwing a regular old party in your house, you'd throw out there's stuff that you like to cook, you know, and you could do disposable plates and people would, you know, put the dishes in the sink. Somebody might even go over and wash dishes for you. And that's a regular old party, but it's not even the same as taking people to a restaurant. At a restaurant, you'll grab your menus, you get what you want, you know, people make their choices. Like, this is something where you are, it's like, well, anyway, we know this. We talk about it all the time. It's a professional, like it's a hosted party. There's service, there's gratuities, there's tax, there's people purchasing flowers and creating, you know, bouquets and centerpieces for you by hand. Like, it costs a lot of money. And, but I get it. Like, it's a lot for you. It's a lot of money for you. And so I don't know. I feel like if your fiance doesn't want to get married in the location where your money will actually stretch, then you have to be willing to like either A, spend more money, or B, work on compromises. You know, I know you love this venue and they, I mean, it is true. You probably could go to a restaurant for a reception of that size and have a less expensive meal, but I get it. That's not what you want to do. Like,
also, we would be lying if we didn't say, I mean, it's not the same thing. If you love the venue, you want to spend your ceremony and reception there. Like, if that's where the money is going, is that people are going to look around. It has a certain feel. It has a certain smell. It's by certain things. When you first walked by it, you fell in love with it for a reason. In this case, it's very iconic in Key West. Like, that's so cool that you can go back there in 10 years and be like, oh, still here, still just as awesome. Yeah. Still got those six-toed cats that walk around, because it's got a lot of these weird cats. So I don't think it's worth spending a lot of money on a venue if you're only going to have a ceremony there. I don't think people get enough of it. They get to like arrive there, see the ceremony, and then they're shuttled somewhere else. And I don't think that the venue is going to cut the price enough for a ceremony only to make that work. But if you think about your overall timeline of the day, if you're not getting ready there, then you, the bride, the person who's paying for this and planning this, are probably only going to spend an hour and a half total at this venue that you love. I mean, I know it's not an ideal situation or an ideal solution, but I think something you might need to think about is just how much is the venue, like how important is that? These are your memories. The venue is going to be in all of the photos. I'd want to be there all day. I'd want to explore the nooks and crannies and, you know, have pictures and cool places at that property. That's what makes it worth the price that they're quoting you. So it's not a great solution, but I think you might have to throw a little bit more money at the wedding if you're not going to do it locally.
If it's possible, or can you push the wedding date back and continue to save more money? You know what I mean? And have it a little bit later at this place that you love. If you know, we've talked about priorities, you and your fiance, you might've done this exercise already. Like, what is the most important scale of 1 to 10? What on all the categories, how important is photography? How important is the location? Is it a 10? Is it absolutely necessary? Like, would he hate life if the wedding was where you live? Could you go to this place on your honeymoon? I don't know. Figure out your priorities and really talk about it and let that be the driver. It's always the advice we give. That's where we start with our clients. That's the best you can do. And really, you know, sit back for a moment and weigh your options. It's tough. This part is tough, but you'll get there. You guys will figure it out. You'll make a decision and then it'll be history. I just know that destination weddings in and of themselves by nature are expensive. They just are. Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other way to like, she asked specifically, should I keep looking in Key West?
In Key West.
And I think you should keep looking, but you got to give yourself a deadline. Because you could look forever, you know, you could be indecisive forever.
Right.
So do some research, make some calls, places that don't call you back. Like, don't go fishing for them to send you information. Just take it as a,
I wonder if she's looking at Nest. Well, obviously she's got to be looking at least in 22. if it's June. And she's doing a Thursday. That in and of itself is one of our money saving tips, is doing a weekday wedding, you know? So you're on the right track. I have faith this is going to happen for you. Just, you know, give it some space. You know what I mean? Like, try to sit back a little bit and put some thought into these things and, you know, talk to your fiance about it a little more, and then don't talk about it. Like, kind of let it go for like a few days.
See if something becomes clear.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple of, with three voicemails to get to here. So let's listen to voicemail number one.
Hi, my name is Kendall Porter. I just started listening to your guys' podcast because I am newly engaged. And I was wondering, or trying to find, an episode about shapewear. I want to make sure I look best on my wedding day, and hitting the gym obviously will help, but also finding something that will just make me look like I have that awesome hourglass shape, and if I should get shapewear before going to my wedding dress consultation. Awesome. Can't wait to listen to you guys more. Have a great day.
So we don't have an episode on shapewear. I feel like that's a very specific pinpointed, I don't know, like, I don't know about doing a whole episode on it, but I appreciate you asking about it. And I'm really not good at wearing shapewear. I probably should, but all I know is of my clients that do wear shapewear, I would say 90% of the time they're Spanx.
I am a fan of shapewear when I'm wearing a formal dress, and I have several like slips, and I have the bike shorts, high-waisted, you know, underwear, which I guess now I could wear as outerwear since bike shorts are
biker shorts, man,
an in thing. And I cannot wrap my brain around that. But there are tons of brands. So now if you go to Nordstrom, you know, there's going to be the Spanx rack, but then there's going to be like 20 other racks that are comparable to Spanx in quality and price, including the Skims line, which is Kim Kardashian's, which I've heard really good things about. I would say most of the brides that I'm working with have some kind of shapewear on. And I think that it just helps with the fit of the dress. I absolutely think you should have it at your, when you try on dresses, and then also when you go to fittings. And I suggest that you try some things out ahead of time and like wear them all day. Like, not just try it on at the store, but like try it on at the store. If you like it at the store and you buy it, then, you know, wear a dress to work with the shapewear under it, because you're going to wear that for 8 hours on your wedding day minimum, probably. And you want it to be comfortable. You also want to know how long it takes you to get in and out of it. You want to know how much you sweat in it. You want to know if you need extra deodorant or like baby powder to help like get things up or down. I mean, it's a very like technical process for some people. So I would suggest, as soon as you want to start looking into it. It doesn't really matter if you lose 20 pounds between when you buy shapewear and your wedding day, because it's so tight that it's meant to fit no matter what. I have the bike shorts that I have that are high-waisted are actually maternity shapewear. And I still will wear, yes, because I wore them at my wedding under my dress, which I was 6 months pregnant. So I had a little bump and it didn't squeeze anything in. It just smoothed it out. So it smoothed my body out. So I never felt like, oh, it's so tight, like a girdle under here. It just was like extra secure. It gave a little bit of like, held the belly up a little bit, which helped when I was pregnant. And I ended up wearing those things a ton when I was pregnant. So there's such a big variety. I think like our advice would be to like try stuff on now and find, you know, three different options, a slip, underwear, and bike shorts, let's say, where you know you have options that you like to choose from. And I bet you'll end up wearing it, just not on the wedding day only. So,
all right, very good. All right. Another voicemail. I love these. Here we go.
Hi, my name is McKenna. I sent you guys an email, but I figured I would try both methods to see how I can reach you guys. So I'm in desperate help. My fiance and I have been trying to find caterers for our wedding, which is in May of 2022. And we were quoted some really high things, like $14,000, which is just not in our budget. We found another caterer that was $4,000, and we did a tasting with them, and it was just awful. We were wanting to do a taco bar, and all the meat was so dry. They didn't make any salsa or guacamole or any of their like actual toppings in-house. And then when asking them to throw in some black beans with the taco bar and to fill water cups, which we're providing, we're like collecting these vintage wine glasses for the wedding, then the quote jumped an additional $2,000 for that. So instead of going the traditional catering route, we have this local Mexican restaurant that's delicious, and they will come set up the buffet and then leave. But we're such a big fan of the food, we're okay with that, but I'm trying to find people to help staff the event. I know things can get tricky with like people trying to serve another caterer's food. However, I will not need people to help serve. Guests will serve themselves. I just need help with water glasses, collecting trash, cutting the cake, and just like other little things like that. I've posted on local Facebook groups and things like that, trying to ask people for help. I've just been reached with lots of negative comments telling me this is a horrible idea and there's lots of liabilities with it. And the little bit of help I did receive are from people who are 6 hours away, so I can't afford to really get them here to help me out. So any advice you guys would have, or like what to Google, like in terms of the type of help that I would need, that would be great. Thank you.
This is really tricky. This is hard. Because again, this comes down to budget. And you may not need people to serve. You're right. Okay. But like you say, what you need people to do is bus. You need things cleaned up. You need people to maybe replenish drinks. You need people to help you set it up. Maybe they deliver it, but like pulling off the foil, you know, cleaning up spills, making sure that you're not doing anything in your wedding attire that's going to get greasy and dirty. Like I've seen many, 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 many years ago when I started out as a wedding planner, somebody who wanted Mexican food and, you know, had the taco truck and the mother was just a mess, filthy. Anyway, I don't know where you live, what metro area you're in, but Thumbtack, if you have the app on your phone, Thumbtack is a really great resource for finding staff to come and help you for a party. I've used it, and there, you know, a lot of times staffing companies or catering companies or bartending services will also list themselves on Thumbtack. So if they're not super busy, or if they need the business, or if it's a new business, they will answer you and you can get in contact and you can have, you know, someone come over and help you for X amount of hours on a, you know, a rate that you guys have already decided and negotiated. So Thumbtack is a great resource. Christy, you actually answered her really quickly. I saw an email,
about the event staffing company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and I have had actually tacos at a taco bar been served before at a wedding in Emeryville, actually a long time ago, in a weird, awesome, like warehousey co-op where the bride and groom lived, and that down this long open hallways where they served dinner. And it was a buffet. And the taco company, taco truck, I think, did have like 3 staff members that were serving the food. I think it's a bit of a, it might be a mistake to just think you're just going to have the food on tables and people will just serve themselves like free for all style. It can get messy, and it might be helpful if there's 2 or 3 people there scooping things onto plates from the platters, especially in this environment with people touching food and stuff like that. So I suggested that she Google event staff company. And I think most, it might be an hour or two. We're not sure where you live, but that is what my recommendation would be, that you hire people from the staffing company to come, and they have like a point person that is there. And that's the person that gets all the instructions. And then like it trickles down to the team. And it would be per person per hour. And even if it was $50 per person per hour to have staff there, that's not that much in the overall scheme of, you know, expenses for a wedding. And then TaskRabbit is another site similar to what you mentioned, Michelle.
Thumbtack. Yeah.
Except it's going to be more individual. So there would be people that don't know each other.
Yeah, I don't know if TaskRabbit does that, because that's more like, maybe, I don't know, but look at apps, maybe even put an ad on Craigslist, see if you can get any bites, or look for people on Craigslist. I just want you to be really careful, because it really is true, you get what you pay for. And I understand, again, the theme of this Yawa seems to be budget. I understand that you have a budget, and if you love the food from that place, that's awesome. I think another suggestion, Christy, you had on the email was, can you ask the restaurant if they know of anybody, like even if they have friends who work odd jobs or whatever it is, that they would be willing to come and help out for the day. Just be careful.
The ideal situation would be that the restaurant is able to provide some of their own staff.
Yeah. And
the way that the only way that they're going to do that is if they're able to, like they can spare the staff, but if it's worth it to the staff, because you can't say to a waitress like, hey, could you take Friday night off from making, let's say, $150 here, and we'll pay you $75 to go work this event.
Right.
So you might have to pay top dollar in service industry standards to have a couple of servers and a couple bussers, but for one night and it's your wedding, I think it would be worth it. That's the ideal situation, is that you go back and talk to the restaurant that'll be providing the food and ask them what it would cost to incorporate staff members into that quote. And then don't try to negotiate there. Like, just pay that, because they're going to be people that know the food. They can answer questions about it. They will arrive with the food. I mean, the reason the restaurant didn't offer this in the first place is because they've never done it, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't do it. You just need to present like, I would like this also, and I'm willing to pay, you know, more than what they would make at the restaurant that night.
Also, if you do find staff, you know, make sure that you have supplies for the staff, you know, to bus food, to bus, to, you know, glassware, plates, napkins, dirty napkins. You need something in your hands. You need like a waiter's tray. You know, those oval trays, you see them carry at restaurants sometimes, or you need a bucket, you know, for all of the dirty glasses, a bin, you need a slosh bucket to pour, you know, liquids into. I mean, there's a lot that goes into what a catering staff does that you will never see unless you work at a catering company. You have no clue. There's so much you need. You know, plastic bags, there's a ton of trash. Like there's so much involved.
Sometimes they bring their own trash bins.
A lot of them have to haul the trash away from the venue. Like you can't even leave your trash there. So it is doable, but I want to make sure that you really like do your research and think this through and make sure that you're very clear on what you need them to do. Because the last thing you want to be doing on your wedding day is stressing out because everything's chaos and you have to go in and do it yourself. We don't want that happening. I know you don't either. Okay. Last one, another awesome voicemail.
Hi, Christy. Hi, Michelle. It's Mariana de la Cruz. Me and my partner are both Hispanic. We have big families, so the fact that we're having a smaller 40-person wedding is a shock for everyone, but this is something that we want and we want to be able to give our families because we are paying for this ourselves. I do have a question. This one is for my wedding, actually. I'm getting married in Paso Robles, May 2022 on a Friday the 13th. I'm very excited. I feel like it's very vibey for me and my partner. It's also going to be our 5-year anniversary that Friday. The timing worked out great. My thing is, since we are having a 40-person wedding, how do you guys feel about DJs? I feel like our family is definitely a mix of people that want to party and dance and a mix of people that are very reserved and want to sit. And then we have like a handful of friends who are happy with whatever we're doing. They're just happy to be there. I don't know if having a DJ is awkward, if it's 40 people, if it's not, do I spend the money? Do I make a playlist? I do have a wedding planner. I love him. He's also my florist. Love his work. And he's open to whatever I want. He has told me that it's nicer to have a DJ or at least someone playing music for my actual ceremony, which will also be at the winery we're getting married at. And we are having a later wedding, so I don't want to worry about music during my actual ceremony. So it would be nice to have someone there to kind of just, like, run things there and, like, be mic'd up and everything for that. But do I go on and have, like, a dance party after? We're having a seated dinner. It's, like, going to be one long table. I don't know. I would love to know.
She got cut off, but I got you. We got you. Yeah. Hell yeah. Have a friggin' DJ. Right, Christy?
Totally. We've both been to like house parties with a dozen people there when they have DJs. Like it's not awkward or weird. I mean, it just makes things easier for the guests and the hosts. It elevates the party. It makes everybody feel special. Like hire somebody cool, tell them it's a small party, obviously, and decide if you want people to be able to communicate directly with the DJ or not. Because when there's 300 people might stay away. But if there's only 40, people might think that like, oh, he's our personal, you know, he's here for all of us to communicate with. So kind of make that decision if you want people to be able to request or require certain songs.
That is such
but that would be my only...
I have to tell you, actually, that's great advice, Christy, especially when it's a small group. I mean, it's kind of fun. Like when I have people over here in the to the house, we'll pass around the iPhone with the friggin' Spotify and be like, everybody add their song to the queue. We do that at home, but it's different at a wedding. And a lot of people don't like that. And a lot of DJs don't like that. I have to tell you, last night, the wedding I did, for the first time in a long time, people were coming up to the DJ and requesting songs, but he was really good about it. And you know who it was? It was Matthew Rubino from Flashdance. And normally that's actually like in his contract that he doesn't want playlists given to him and he doesn't want people requesting songs because he vibes off people and he's a freaking genius at what he does.
Were people writing it down and like, no, giving like it
people
with a
were coming up and like, you're so amazing. Hey, do you have any Luther Vandross? You know, or can you play friggin' Shaka, like specific songs? But this was a very special wedding. So he was like, he was so good about it. I was like kind of biting my nails. I'm like, oh God, it's this dude's been all of people literally bring this guy all over the world to play gigs and weddings and parties. So I was like, oh geez. But he was so nice about it. He's like, I got you, baby. I got you. I got something for you. And also the venue didn't have Wi-Fi. So it was great that he had probably thousands and thousands of songs already loaded on his computer. But getting back to this question, I'm 100% for you having a DJ for 40 people. Of course, that's not too small at all. And you're going to have way more fun and you're not going to have to deal with the playlist, like putting that together yourself and your DJ will read the crowd. And yeah, good advice though. Decide on whether or not you're going to want to allow people to make requests, which might work in your favor. If it's all your people and it's all your favorite people and you all love to party together, you know, they're going to request some good songs anyway. So
yeah. Talk to the DJ about that before you hire them.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. We did it. We did that's everything. That's a wrap. Wiki, wiki, wiki. I was scratching the record.
I get it.
Okay. All right. Thank you all so much, everybody. Thank you to our new Patreon members. Thank you to you lovely people that wrote reviews. Thank you for all these beautiful voicemails and us hearing your beautiful voices and these amazing emails. And we love y'all so much. And we really appreciate it. And we hope that we're able to help. And we know people are on a budget. Okay. We know.
You
got to work
it.
With what you got.
Don't despair.
Yeah. All right. Keep on keeping on, everybody. I hope everybody and anybody, any wedding professionals out there listening, I see you. I hear you. I know, but we're going to get through this. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, show.
Bye.